Welcome once again. It's such a pleasure to be with you, to look into God's Word today. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school, our Bible study time. Today, how overwhelmingly important is this? A question: to what destiny are you appointed? To what destiny, to what fate are you appointed? Of God, Job says this: but he, God, is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, whatever his soul wills, he does. For he performs that appointed for me. Job goes on in light of that. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider this, I'm afraid of him. And that makes me think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where we are commanded to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God working in us both to will and to do of his, of actually the good purpose. And that purpose is to conform us to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you or I go to heaven or hell, God will perform that which is appointed for you and I, just as he performed what was appointed for Job. The word appointed, as used in this context, here in Job, has to do with something prescribed, written down beforehand, which means it was determined beforehand by the eternal God. God's determination, his purpose. What God reveals in his written word concerning his appointing every human being's destiny, is clear, but is almost never addressed in so-called Christendom today. When I say Christendom, I'm referring to the realm of professing Christians. And in that realm, not everyone is a Christian. Indeed, few are. When we speak of destiny, we are referring to the events that will necessarily happen to every individual person in their existence, especially the final condition of each individual human being. Folks, we all have an eternal soul which will be united to a resurrected body. Where will we spend eternity? We all, every single human being ever, we all have a final destiny which will be eternal. And that final destiny has been determined by God before time began. Yes, where you and I will end up for all eternity was determined by God before time began. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Acts 15, 18. Yes, the sovereign God and creator of the universe has predetermined your destiny, your final destiny, your eternal destiny. You need to think about that. this eternal truth is despised and rejected by all humanity left to themselves, and only those who God makes willing in the day of his power will ever believe in this sovereign God who has predetermined their destiny unto the salvation of their souls. Only God's people will believe that. We're going to be dealing today with verses that are rarely cited and are considered taboo, not to be touched in the vast majority of pulpits today. This will actually also be the first time that I have delivered a message with such a pointed and purposed look at some controversial scripture in the realm of God, predetermining the fate of all humanity. Yes, once again, God has predetermined the fate of all humanity. Dealing with some very controversial scripture now in the book of Jude, that little one chapter book. Let me read verses 3-7. Listen very closely. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, he speaks this to Christians, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, those set apart by God for God unto salvation. Every Christian is a saint. For certain human beings have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were ordained, says the King James. The New King James says marked out. The word literally is prescribed, written beforehand. Certain people have crept in unnoticed who were long ago prescribed for this condemnation. Folks, I can't change that. That's the way the Bible has it. This is the Word of God. This group, these ungodly human beings who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They were prescribed beforehand unto that condemnation. And then he goes on. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Folks, that was their fate. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. There is no mercy for fallen angels. When they rebelled, God condemned them unto the final judgment of the great day. This is the destiny of the fallen angels, predetermined by the Lord God. Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, speaking of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The word vengeance there could really better be translated justice. God's justice, suffering the justice of eternal fire. Justice will be their destiny. Human beings, prescribed, written beforehand, unto condemnation, suffering the justice of God. Unlike Christians who have a substitute to bear the penalty of God's justice for them in their place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit recorded the following through Paul in Paul's first letter to the church of the Thessalonians. For God did not appoint us to wrath. God did not appoint his elect to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our destiny. Peter, also led by the Spirit of Christ, says this of those not willing to obey the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 2, not far over from Jude, where we just read. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, 7 and 8, actually. Listen as Peter proclaims the word of God. Therefore, to you who believe, Christ is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. You who have rejected Christ, listen to the word of God. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Now, you can change words, do whatever you want to do, but the true word of God says exactly what it means here. And a proof text for what we just read of the destiny of such people, those who disbelieve, is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Listen. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his angels of power, in flaming fire, giving vengeance to those not knowing God. Now, folks, that doesn't mean they don't know there is a God, that they don't know something about God. It means they have no intimate, personal relationship with Christ. That's what it means to know God. If you know God, truly know God, you have an intimate, personal relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, those not knowing God and to those not obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they'll suffer vengeance. Remember, as we began, those reprobates spoken of in Jude who had given themselves over to sexual immorality and homosexuality. Now, I believe that that kind of language, having given themselves over, may indicate a point of no return for those practicing that kind of a lifestyle. Ooh, that should be a fearful statement for so many people in this earth today. Now, I pray God would open their eyes and open their minds to these truths And certainly my prayer is that they don't. Indeed, they haven't indeed reached a point of no return. And listen, God addresses this very point in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Seems like, again, we read this so often. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. Listen. They gave themselves over to their lusts. Listen. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Folks, true Christians know you can't love anyone like you love the Lord God. And these people have exchanged their affection and have put that affection upon the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves, listen, the penalty of their deception. I think your King James says error. Deception is a better word, I believe. Receiving in themselves the penalty of their deception, which was due. Folks, that's a destiny. That's a fate due to deception leading to such an ungodly life. Now, those verses I just read, and I've always thought this in my own mind, there's an underlying truth to those verses in Romans, which is critical to you and I understanding God determining our eternal destiny. For those, I say this directly now, for those having given yourselves over to the pleasures of sin during your lives on this present earth, realize the worst thing that can happen to you is for God to leave you alone, to give you up to your ungodly lust. In other words, God will determine your eternal destiny by simply leaving you alone to yourself and sin. Now that's just the hard, cold truth. John 2:25 states that Jesus Christ had no need that anyone should testify concerning mankind, because he knew what was in mankind. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom is our accountability. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. Now, what I've just read there, that is why Jesus could say to some particular Pharisees with certainty, Christ said this in John 8:21, as recorded in John 8:21, I am going away. He says this to the Pharisees. I am going away, and you will seek me. If you'll read that context there, you'll say that two times Christ said, you seek me to kill me. I am going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. That's God, folks. God in the flesh pronouncing judgment. And will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Later on in John chapter 8, as most of you know, Christ point blank looked at them and said, you are of a father, the devil. Now, folks, that is an example of God leaving these people alone in their sin. Their destiny being declared by the judge who will finalize that condemnation when he judges them at the last day. To what destiny are you appointed? To what fate are you and I prescribed? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, and most of you are familiar with that, we have an account of those professing to be Christians but are not true Christians. To them, Christ said, I never knew you. Between these folks and Christ, there was no personal, intimate relationship. I never knew you. Get away from me. Now, those people are obviously tares sown in among the wheat by Satan. But don't forget, we dealt with this last week, don't forget how the Lord commands us to deal with such situations, especially if there is not irrefutable evidence of apostasy in these folks. In the parable of the wheat and tares, the Lord commands, let both grow together. Folks, that is a perfect example of people who are tares being given over to their lusts and being left alone by God to a fate of being gathered together by the elect angels and bundled to be cast into the lake of fire where the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. Once again, all God has to do to determine your eternal destiny in hell is to leave you alone, to enjoy your sin for the season of your particular lifespan. And as we look around this world today, that's the fate of the overwhelming percentage of people today. If you would rather not hear what you think is foolishness, what I've just been saying, and just want to be left alone to do what seems best to you, have at it. But may I repeat for the last time, the worst thing that can happen to you is for God to leave you alone in your sin. Except God intervene in your heart and in your mind with the life-giving Holy Spirit of Christ, you are without God in this world and have no hope. Oh my goodness. What if that is true for you? Think about it. Those who do believe into Christ do so by the grace of God, due to him birthing them again from above, inwardly, spiritually, by sending the Spirit of his Son into the hearts of his saints. There's an overwhelming truth spoke of in Romans chapter 9, among many other truths. There are only two destinies in this lifetime for human beings. The vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. And secondly, the vessels of mercy prepared beforehand for glory. I don't know of a more important question to ask you, a more pertinent question. What will your fate be? Jeremiah, thanks be to God for this, says this in his Lamentations. There may yet be hope. There may yet be hope. We as human beings do not know what God's will is for every human being. But he does. Acts 13:48 illustrates the fulfillment of this scripture, there may yet be hope. Acts 13:48. What a marvelous, wonderful scripture. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. They believed the gospel. Their destiny was set out before them from before the foundations of the world, from eternity. As many as were prescribed to eternal life believed. We close. Rather than brooding over the ones that God will leave alone in their sin, and that's just what they want. They want to be left alone to enjoy sin for this season. Christians, thank God for his mercy to save some. And not to leave us all alone in our sin unto a destiny of eternal torment. How few people think that way. Christians, thank God, worship God, love the Lord your God for your destiny. Amen.